So how did that lead into the plan you came up with for him?
The thing that really mattered to him was the transfusion issue. He didn't like going in for transfusions. At that point, we didn't have the survival data, so I had to tell him, I don't know if what I'm proposing to do is going to extend your life. I don't know if it's going to delay leukemia. I'm hopeful that it will.
How often was he getting transfusions?
About every 3 weeks at that point with red cells. And the platelets seemed to be quite variable. Some weeks he would need them more than once, and other weeks he wouldn't need them.
No bleeding?
No bleeding, thankfully. But he did have some of the signs that he was at high risk for bleeding, oral purpura and, you know, scattered petechiae and such. But he didn't ever have to go in the ER to get his nose packed or anything. So that was good. So I told them that he was at high risk, that there were drugs that we could use that might actually make his cytopenias worse before they got better, but that there was a rationale for doing it because it might eventually make him transfusion free.
So what options did you discuss with him?
I talked with him about azacitidine. I talked with him about decitabine. Because he had all of chromosome 5 missing rather than just chromosome 5q, we don't have data on lenalidomide in that situation. So I wasn't as sanguine about the use of lenalidomide and that that would help him. And I found that one thing it does well is improve the hemoglobin. One thing it's not so good at is reducing blast count, improving the platelet count. So that one was sort of off the table. So we talked about the use of the hypomethylating agents, azacitidine and decitabine. At the time, we had a clinical study open with decitabine, which he participated in. And happily, he got a very good response. After two cycles, he was still quite cytopenic, but then his platelet count went up before cycle three, up into the normal range, remarkably. And when patients who are on decitabine therapy do that, that's usually the first sign that they are going to have a decent response. And he was able to get a complete remission. In fact, when he came back for one of his later cycles, we did another marrow exam, and the pathologist called me and said, you know, there's been some sort of a sample mix-up, I think, because this looks almost normal, you know, and I see he hasn't had a bone marrow transplant. Now, that lasted for about 6 months, that complete remission. And then his platelet count started going down again. And so, you know, we tried changing the dose around and could never get back to the same point where we were. And he got a little over a year. We tried some other things at the end. And unfortunately, he eventually succumbed to the disease. Infection is what got him in the end.
If he were to present today, how would you manage him?
I think today I would talk to him about the survival data with azacitidine and compare and contrast that to the response rates that we've seen with decitabine. I might present azacitidine a little bit more favorably compared to the decitabine because of the survival data with the one and not with the other, but recognizing that that is subject to change, but that's what we know right now.
And if a patient like that would say to you, how would you compare side effects and toxicity that I might experience when the two drugs, what would you say?
I would say they're really very similar. The rate of neutropenia is quite similar. There may be a little higher incidence of febrile neutropenia with decitabine, and azacitidine may take a little bit longer to work. Median response was after 3 to 4 cycles versus about 2 cycles with decitabine. But we don't know those latter two things for sure.
Now, when you look back on this man's lifespan from the time he was diagnosed, how do you think treatment impacted his quality of life?
Well, I think that he was very happy with the outcome, actually. Not, of course, with the eventual outcome, but with the response to therapy. He had 9 months that he went without getting a single transfusion. His quality of life was very good during that time. He was only in the hospital once with the very first cycle of treatment. And he was able to get out there and, you know, work in the fields again, which is what he wanted, and not be coming in every few weeks for a transfusion. And he felt better, you know, with his hemoglobin at a higher level. So I think that in that sense, the drug did him some good. There have been other patients where I've wondered, did I just make the situation worse? You know, somebody who wasn't transfusion dependent and they become transfusion dependent and never respond. I feel bad about that because I don't know if I actually helped them. But in this case, I felt like, yeah, the treatment actually did do some good for this guy.